Afternoon. You know, at the other hall, we were kind of on a little stage also, but for some reason it feels different here. I think maybe it's the lights. Like I'm off auditioning. I know, I guess in a way, aren't we? Maybe? No. So brethren, have you ever looked through a microscope? You ever looked through a microscope? Maybe sometime in a science class or something like that in high school or junior high, you looked at maybe a drop of pond water to look at the little microorganisms as they swim around, or maybe even the tap water. I think I remember doing that in school, and it kind of scares you when you look and see what's in the water through a microscope. But have you ever looked through a microscope? Maybe you went to college for something related to chemistry or biology, and you had a chance to do that pretty often. I know if Michael Barbeau was here, he's probably looked through quite a few microscopes in his day. So what does a microscope do? Well, I'll answer it. I'll ask it and I'll answer it. A microscope magnifies something that we typically can't see, something so intricate or so small that the human eye can't possibly see it. A microscope is used to view deep into something, you know, visualizing, you know, its very core. You know, and this allows us to see every little detail within that object. Well, that's what a microscope allows us to do. On the opposite end of that spectrum, we have a telescope, right? Microscope and a telescope. You know, who here has ever looked through a telescope? Anyone look through a telescope, or maybe have a telescope in your backyard or on your deck, where you look up at the moon or look at some of the planets as they get close, and or maybe you've been to an observatory. You know, I remember years ago, back somewhere in the late 80s, early 90s, the youth group, the church youth group up in Cincinnati, better known at that time as the YOU, took a trip to the Cincinnati Observatory. And at the Cincinnati Observatory, we got to look through the oldest commercial or the oldest public use telescope, you know, in the country. And at that time, that telescope had a refractor, is what they used at that time, and it was 11 inches, an 11-inch refractor, which is basically the size of a dinner plate. So this is what they used to allow you to see something closer, like the moon. A lot different than your normal backyard telescope. And in comparison to that, the Hubble telescope, it uses a lens system also, but its lens system is mirrors, and the primary mirror for the Hubble telescope is 94 and a half inches. Well, that's a pretty big dinner plate. You put a lot of mashed potatoes on that one. So. But it is a telescope. It does the same thing. A telescope has a similar function, of course, to a microscope. You know, but as I said, on an opposite scale. A telescope takes objects that are too far, too vast for us to clearly see, and it brings them in. It draws in that expanse. It draws in the vastness of the universe around us and allows us to get a closer look at individual things. It allows us to really focus on the bodies that are out there in the universe. It really gives us a glimpse of the magnificence of God's creation. It really does. Telescopes are really great for doing that. If you've ever seen any of the images from the Hubble telescope, you'll know what I'm talking about. But there again, just like the microscope, the telescope does the same thing. It magnifies something in order for us to have a deeper understanding of what we're looking at. So you may be asking yourself, what is the point of this science lesson, right? Well, in this message, we're going to focus on magnifying. We're going to focus actually on magnifying God. We're going to look at three aspects of magnifying God in this message. We're going to look at how the Holy Spirit relates to magnifying God. We're going to see how our calling affects our ability to magnify God and how magnifying God relates to the world around us, the world as a whole. And we're going to bring the literal translation of the Greek and Hebrew words for magnify. You're going to bring that literal translation into play in this message. So as I said, the first thing we'll look at is how the Holy Spirit relates to magnifying God. How the Holy Spirit relates to magnifying God. So to do that, of course, we'll go to Scripture. So if you'd like to turn with me to the book of Acts, we'll begin there. We'll begin in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we'll be covering verses 43 through 48. Verse 43 jumps into the thought here, and that's where we'll begin. Acts 10, verse 43. To him all the prophets witness that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So the Greek word being used here, or being translated magnify, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it, but I'll spell it for you, M-A-G-A-L-Y-N-O, is also translated in various places throughout Scripture as enlarge or show great. We see here in this passage, Peter is magnifying God, right? That's what the Scripture told us. Peter is making God and his greatness known to the Jews and the Gentiles. He's doing this by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And those who were present were able to see God in a different light. You know, they were able to understand God for probably the first time because the Holy Spirit had been granted. You know, the presence of the Holy Spirit allowed the assembly to see the intricate details of God's Word. God's laws and his statutes and his commandments were magnified. They were magnified. They were made clear to those present at that time. And, of course, they're being made clear to all of us here today. You know, this is similar to using a microscope, right? The intricate details of the Father were revealed. You know, those hearing Peter speak through the Spirit, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, gained that deeper understanding of God's Holy Word. It was like they were looking at it through a microscope for the first time. The Holy Spirit allowed them to be able to do that. So then this will bring us to our second point. Our second point, it goes hand in hand with the first, is, you know, how our calling affects our ability to magnify God. Right now, brethren, we're being shown God's way, right? Just like those around Peter were being shown at that moment. You know, we've been given the ability to see God's plan for us and God's plan for the entire world, for all of mankind, and this is due specifically to our calling. We can find proof of this in the book of Matthew. So if you'll turn with me back a little bit to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So we, because of our calling, we're being shown those secrets. We're being shown those secrets of God's kingdom. You know, just those called right now are the ones that are able to discern God's holy word properly. I mean, look around us. Look at the building we're in. Look at the things around us. You know, without that calling, you don't get that wisdom. You don't get that vision. You don't see the full picture. Our calling gives us special access to God's Holy Spirit. We know this, right? With the Holy Spirit, we can look out at this incredible plan that began, you know, before the earth was created, before man was created, before time itself even really existed. That plan existed. You know, we look at the plan before time, before man, before Christ came to the earth and died, before he was resurrected, before the future from that point unfolded, all the way up to Christ's return and then God's eventual kingdom of heaven. We see this plan. We see this massive plan. And we're able to do this. We're able to see all of this and all of this endless glory because of our calling. Because God has given us that special connection to hold his Holy Spirit to be able to see that. So to magnify God in this instance, to look out and see this plan that is so vast and so all-encompassing, to be able to do this, this is looking through our telescope, right? We're seeing this huge, vast plan that is like the heavens himself. It's endless. It's ongoing, and we're able to look at it. We're able to look through that telescope there again by the use of that Holy Spirit and pull in the important things and see the things that are out there and see where they're headed, see what our plan is, why we're here, and where we're headed, you know, as mankind and as God's call. You know, our calling provides that telescope that we use to narrow in what God has given us. You know, we're able to bring different parts, as I said, of God's plan into view by using God's Holy Spirit and God's Holy Word. Yeah, without our calling, you know, none of this would really be possible for us. You know, we can read Scripture. Without our calling, we can still read Scripture and gain a vague, you know, understanding of what's in here. But as I said, look around us. It's vague. It's vague. And there's so much more that you learn, you know, with God's Holy Spirit. So our calling is very crucial to that. You're receiving that calling, having God open our mind and open our eyes so that we can see is that telescope that we have before us. So then this will bring us, brethren, to the final question. Well, how does magnifying God then relate to the world? If those called are the ones that can look through this telescope and look through this microscope and bring these things out, then what about the world? What about the world? Well, we've seen, and Christ has told us, because we just read the scripture in Matthew, that right now the world is not able to see this vast plan. But we also know that that is not always going to be true. We know, because we use that magnification of God, we use that telescope and we use that microscope, that the entire world will have an opportunity to see God in his fullness and his vastness. So who, brethren, then, will show God's greatness to the world? Well, that's an easy answer. Scripture gives us the answer to that question. So we'll look at that answer in Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. I know it's in my Bible because I looked it up before. Ezekiel 38. There you are. We'll read one verse 23. Ezekiel 38, verse 23. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. The English Standard Version, I really like the way it puts it here. It says, "So I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations." Our Father will magnify himself to the entire world, right? He just told us that. We just read that. He will show his greatness and his holiness. He will make himself known. You know, in the scripture, we see clearly God telling us that magnifying himself is to show his greatness, to give the entire world that in-depth, intricate knowledge that's like looking through a microscope, and to also show the world his magnificence, his all-encompassing plan for eternity, just like looking through that telescope. So the entire world will have the opportunity to see God for what he truly is. He will magnify himself. Now, we know that the world begins to see this at Christ's return. At Christ's return, things will change, the world will change, and God will make himself known, you know, and his Son is what will orchestrate this happening. So the world is not left out. The world will also have the opportunity to magnify God just the same way that we are able to, but it'll be in God's time. So, brethren, when we think of the phrase to magnify God, it helps to think of the two instruments that we talked about today used for magnification. The microscope, used to look deep inside something, deep inside the most intricate places. We use this to reveal God's laws and God's statutes and God's commands and the examples of Jesus Christ and the apostles and even the prophets before that. On the telescope, we use to bring out the endless expanse of God's vast plan. You know, it narrows our vision. We can pinpoint things. You know, we can pull out the things of importance and the things that lead us to where we need to be going. You know, we gain that understanding of God's plan, as well as the plan, you know, the plan for ourselves, as well as the plan for all mankind. You know, we narrow it down by using that telescope also. And brethren, both of these instruments, just like we discussed, both of these instruments are guided by a lens, right? Just like our 11-inch lens or our 94-inch lens. It's guided by a lens. And as we said, that lens is our calling. And that lens is also God's Holy Spirit. Brethren, when we think about magnifying God, let's consider all that there is to see, both the intricate and the all-encompassing, and ensure we're looking, ensure we're magnifying God in every aspect.